Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Now, Jordan.
Yeah.
You recently switched from coffee to green tea.
Yeah, it's very very perceptive of you.
Now, I know that the primary effect of the green tea, as you described it last week on the program, was that it made you more smug.
Oh, sure.
You now seem somewhat more relaxed.
Well, just to catch you up, I've switched again.
Oh, really?
It's not green tea that I'm drinking. It's herbal tea.
Oh, wow.
And with that switch comes a whole new me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's sort of more like a yogurt commercial
Well, here.
Like sitting cross-legged in front of a white background.
I think I can sum it up in one interaction. Just do me a favor. Tell me some like mildly good news, nothing like earth shattering, but just like, you know, you found a great parking space or, you know, something like that.
Sure.
Okay.
Jordan, I had the most wonderful halibut yesterday.
Ooh, I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
No food.
Oh, no food.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So just got to be something kind of logistical.
Got to be different.
You got a great deal on paper towels or something like that. So just go ahead.
Great. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
But no food stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
My son got a great part in the school play.
Yummy. Ooh, yummy. Ooh. Oh, yummy. Do you want a long hug? Do you want a long hug with a sharp inhale before? This is my new vibe. This is the new me. I don't date anymore. I take lovers.
Uh-huh.
I'll be taking a lover. Auditions are open for spring lovers. Ooh. Sign-ups at my P.O. box. Yummy.
Jordan,
do you like this?
I can't.
Do you want to do this for the whole show?
I can't help but notice that you've got both of your hands on that oversized mug.
Yeah. It's a big part of my new vibe is how I drink the tea. Do you want to just go ahead and describe it for people?
Yeah, well, you've got both hands. You've got your hands interlaced on your oversized mug. You're breathing. You're inhaling more than drinking it. You're just enjoying sort of the warmth of the cup.
Yummy. I won't keep this up.
Okay. I think we've come to the end.
Yeah.
Well, producer is Brian Tunney.
Our guest has been Dana Gould.
Thanks, Dana. Follow him on Twitter.
Our guest on this week's program is the host of the Dana Gould Hour podcast. He is a legendary stand-up comic and comedy writer.
He's currently making the jack-off motion.
Yummy. Yummy.
He's got a salt and pepper beard, Jordan. I'm not gonna tell you a lie.
Yeah.
He looks very handsome.
Fucking
more
great.
Salt and pepper.
He looks very handsome in his salt and pepper beard. He looks like a very worldly and interesting man.
Yeah.
That's the illusion.
Yeah. My dad always said, more salt, less pepper, you're less likely to sneeze. Then he died the following week.
Next week.
Yeah. The beard gives me the illusion of a jawline. but I was admiring your tea drinking.
Hey, thumbs up. Me too.
Well, yours is just you have a mighty beard.
I've got kind of a topiary.
Yeah, I've got the Riker. I've got the season 2 Riker.
Uh-huh.
And you have the little bighorn.
Uh-huh.
The character that you're doing, I'm assuming is a character, the other Jordan. That was everyone.
That's what we call him.
We used to do that because I went
Jordan 2 and I'm Jordan Prime.
I went to the University of Massachusetts.
Yes.
And at Amherst. And that was everyone at Amherst. people that have never seen conditioner holding a mug with two hands. Yeah, and then the voice was basically Sally Kellerman doing a salad dressing commercial. It was a Hidden Valley Ranch has created a new sauce. I've just had some Hmong tea. Yeah. It makes you conservative. It makes you want to be conservative.
Yeah, yeah. Dan, I see you have a coffee-related T-shirt on. Are you a big coffee guy? I guess I don't know that about
vicious coffee drink. It's actually my only sort of vice.
Yeah.
I don't drink. I have about a beer a week, and I just never picked it up.
About envy?
Oh no, that I'm riddled with envy. I'm more envy than man. but in terms of drinking and drugs and stuff, it's really just coffee, and I'm not effing around.
Yeah. I'm trying to kick it.
Why? That was what I thought when I heard that.
Yeah.
Why?
I've been sleeping weird.
I can relate to that.
And in the middle of the day, I'll get mad for no reason.
Oh, no, you're just Irish.
could be.
That has nothing to do with caffeine. Yeah, I can ascribe to both of those things. But I don't know if not having coffee would help. Sugar, getting rid of sugar helped me a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
With what?
Just mood, and I lost a little bit of weight, and I felt better about myself. And if you don't have it, you don't crave it. And if you have it, you'll want it. Like sex or love.
Mm-hmm.
I keep those very separate.
Or conditioner.
Right. I literally I have an automatic coffee maker, and I wake up. I have to get up very early every morning. And it's there in the kitchen, and I'm like, you made this for me. I was still asleep when you came on.
And the coffee maker's wearing one of your dress shirts.
Yeah, it's like, an oversized one.
I found this in your closet.
You look great in it. Thanks. I've got to go to work. Sure.
I
could never leave my wife. What? Nothing.
You're not pregnant, are you? You're on the pill, right? I think maybe if I did more home coffeeing, I would be better. And I've talked about this on the show before, but it is the unpredictability of modern coffee that I just feel like I cannot fuck with anymore.
You also are famous. You are deeply...
Thank you.
Our producer.
Full stop. I am famous.
You have long been committed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the age of the fourth wave coffee shop or something.
Sure.
Someone was telling me about this when I was in, here's a surprise, Portland, Oregon.
Really? An intricate coffee discussion, you say.
But you
last time I was in Portland, Oregon, I saw a bicycle with a beard.
having a discussion about the economy of coffee.
Yeah, going to a vintage hardware store.
I think that you are the friend of mine as a non-coffee drinker who most conspicuously is committed to any coffee in the world rather than a special kind of coffee.
Yeah.
Like my wife has at various times been a real coffee fiend.
Mm-hmm.
And in those times, perhaps because she was a barista as a teenager, she has gotten deeply further and further, further down the rabbit hole of trying to brew the perfect cup.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't really instant coffee offends me. But outside of that, I'll just drink some coffee.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, you almost take pride in, at least in as I've known you, in drinking whatever coffee is there.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I bought some beans that were too dark. I like a nice medium blend.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought some beans that it said Mexican. I was like, oh, good. This is a good blend. And it's really dark. And I can't decide if I just drink through it or I chuck them.
A man who roasts the coffee himself, then
I grind my own beans.
Sends me an email once a week. My wife and I order beans from him, and he brings them to our house and puts them in our mailbox.
Holy Lord!
He made an exception to the circle that he
the radius
delivers to.
Have you met him?
Radius. Yeah, he's a very nice man. He looks like a little bit like Jay Maskus.
Okay.
From Dinosaur Jr. Yeah.
But there is a
weird... Shocked!
Yeah, because I remember, like, we had a milkman when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
In Massachusetts. They would, you know, you'd leave the order out, and you had a tin box on your porch, and they would leave a milk or orange juice, and we could, like, can we get chocolate milk this week? And they'd put it in. This is early 70s. And it is something in the culture that's left is that a stranger would leave some liquid on your porch the night before, and the next day you'd drink it.
Yeah.
The coffee man, for a time, he will also allow you to order coffee from him and then pick it up during his office hours. So he keeps office hours, and for a time he was offering that your coffee was free if you could beat him at ping pong.
Oh, God.
When you stopped by during his office hours.
There is a coffee place that I went to and it's literally like Dr. Frankenstein's lab where they have the – you know, the arm dripping into the – like, you can't just get a cup of coffee. Then.
Right. It's in all the graduated cylinder. Yeah, yeah. There's a little
and
drop
I do,
of dry
I,
ice
I feel
and
like
everything.
Jack Webb making fun of hippies, but I'm like, dude, it's a cup of coffee. It's just, you know, it's like, what area of the globe would you like your beans from? I don't know. The brown coffee. I like brown coffee.
I will correct you a little bit. I do actually have a preference. There's this great Hyundai dealership by my house, and I just go in every morning. I pretend I'm interested in a Hyundai. Get myself a little styrofoam cup, and then I start my day.
You've test-driven so many Elantras.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of a day killer, but you got to be interested or else they won't
Yeah, car dealership coffee is among the worst coffee in the world.
Yeah.
In the way that – and I don't know – it's kind of just as easy to make good coffee.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
That is –
you know, it's like, why is the saddest music always playing in a laundromat? Yeah. You know, why is Sirius XM's Watercolors on? Put on the Go-Go's. We're all trapped here.
ABBA's Greatest Hits is available to you.
Yeah.
Is there something to
– Watercolors.
Maybe you are more likely to buy the car if you have to shit. if you have a little of the coffee and it gives you the shit, you're like, I got to get out of here. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
LX package, you'll say.
I want the undercoating.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have some myself if I don't get out of here.
Which is what I call taking a shit, dropping off the old LX package.
I can understand that. I mean, there is a moment. I would think that it would be like a negotiation tactic.
Mm.
Like I when I bought my last car, it was the first new car I'd ever bought. And I used one of those apps to get a price. But then I went to test drive it at the one that was near my house, and I went and test drove it, and I was like, well, this is actually the color I want and the features I want. If you'll match this price, I'll just buy it from you, because I had this great salesman named Patrick, who at one point I asked him a question, and he went, "What was that? I'm sorry, I was spacing out." And I was like, this is the greatest car salesman ever.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of the hard sell?
And so anyway, Patrick, you know, it's one of those things where he goes into his guy, you know, he's like, oh, I got to go talk to my boss.
And he's
back.
Not talking to his boss. He's just going in the back.
Exactly.
100, 2, 100, 3, 100, 4, 100.
Exactly.
Here's what I can do. Otherwise, they get my kid in a bag. And they're holding him over some water.
And he came out and he asked for like $200 more than what the app had said.
Yeah.
So that he could, like, win.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was so excited about that
you've completed the negotiation.
That 40 minutes earlier he had said that thing about how he was just spacing out when I asked him a question, that I just wanted him to be happy and have the $200.
Yeah.
But I could see having to shit serving the same.
Yeah.
Facilitative purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He comes back and asks for an extra $200, knowing that you really got to hit the head.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just in the back watching this video of these logs coming down a slough chute and splashing into this river. It's just one after the other. They couldn't stop them.
Like, sorry,
those want to move. They want to move.
I love to flume.
Restrooms for customers only, it says. So then. Yeah. They won't give you up the code unless you buy the car.
Exactly.
Dana, you were if I remember the one car thing I know about you is that you were a Volvo guy for a long time.
I still have that car.
Really?
I still have that car. Yeah, I have a 92 Volvo 240. It's a tank. I have it in my garage still. I drive a Prius around.
Well, if you need, decide to get a new Volvo, can I recommend Patrick?
Is that what you got?
It's a Volvo man, baby.
I'm not getting rid of that. I mean, I really love this car, and I had it for years. And I think the only reason I stopped driving it was the air conditioning broke, and my kids refused to get in it. And I just bought a Prius. I'm not like a car guy.
But you're committed to keeping it with you forever?
Does it
have like air in the tires?
No, it has air in the tires. It's under a cover, and it has some work that needs to be done. I have like there's some trim parts that it needs. I have them.
Uh-huh.
You know, ready to put it on if I ever want to just juice it up.
This is when it becomes a lifestyle, is when you have a supply of things to be attached to the car that have not yet been attached to.
Yeah, I've got two of them. I got two pieces of two trim pieces of trim that are in the car. But it's a Volvo. It's not like a, you know, and I did buy a 1965 Ambassador station wagon.
Wow.
And that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. That was my midlife crisis car.
Were you trying, well, who hasn't hit that midlife crisis and thought, yeah, oh, I got to get me a 65 wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to get something that feels like I'm driving the minnow down Mulholland. Yeah. And I thought it was because I go to the drive-in a lot. There's a drive-in theater 50 minutes east in Montclair, which is right next to Claremont. I know, and it's beautiful. It's called Mission Tiki, and I love drive-ins. I used to work at a drive-in in high school, and my kids are into it, and I thought, well, this will be great for the drive-in. It's an old station wagon, and that thing is 3 tons of American steel, man. You can lay on the roof. Nothing's going to happen. And my kids would not get in that car.
Have you been to the drive-in in the City of Industry?
No, I know that drive-in.
Yeah.
This is a straight shot, 50 minutes east. And the last time we were there, we saw The Meg, which is a great movie to see at the drive-in.
Yeah.
Because you don't really need to hear it. You know?
Don't need to hear it,
it's
and
not,
you don't want to.
Nothing is lost if the dialogue is a bit inaudible.
Yeah, my whole life is my attempt to recreate the childhood that I wish I had.
Mm.
My house is built in, and to that end, it's all like really great stuff from 1966.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what else does that entail? So station wagon drive-ins.
My house was built in 66. That was not intentional. I just happened to be there. But it's decorated. That, you know, it looks like Bewitched. It looks like you just went into Bewitched's house.
Mm-hmm.
It's very mid-century modern, and there's a lot of great stuff. And, like, I take my kids to go-karts. We go to the drive-in. I like to go to Cindy's in Eagle Rock, which is a great, like, mid-century restaurant. And I just, like, I don't dress that way. I'm not, you know, weird about it, fetishistic about it. But
sure, you don't wear flame shirts.
No, and
you
don't
have a totem pole from the Planet of the Apes movies.
I don't have a totem pole. I could get one in 24 hours. But it's funny. I saw those movies at the drive-in, and when the new ones came out, I'm like, guys, we're going to the drive-in to see it. But it was just like to see Planet of the Apes on the drive-in marquee was such a big deal to me.
What do you think about those new ones?
They are
crazy in their own way, aren't
they?
They're
great. Yeah, they're great. I think they're terrific. I'm also easily pleased. Once you make stuff, you realize it's hard to make stuff.
Like, sure.
Anybody that people make fun of Ed Wood. I'm like, the guy directed 4 movies. What the hell? Who are you?
Those new ones. The fun thing to do in those new ones is that they are very melodramatic. Like
they're not fun. They could be a little more fun. They could be a little more fun.
It's just fun to. It just, you know, they are about the horrors of war and the apes with PTSD.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's
the
so
last
fun.
One was the last one is basically the story of Moses.
Yeah,
with all the hilarity of the story of Moses.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, it ends in the end of humanity.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, which I have no problem with.
But it is just fun to like because right you're like. I was thinking as I was watching this, like, oh, these are such humorless movies in a way. But then I'm like, no, it's a talking monkey. You know? there's an innate joke that happens for the runtime, which is the monkey's talking.
Well, in the second of the new ones, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, this is in the last one, War for the Planet of the Apes, they did get them throwing poop into it.
Yeah.
Which I was like, God bless them.
That's what we've been waiting for.
But it was completely relevant to the story. Mm-hmm. It came from a
Not
real
gratuitous
place.
Gratuitous poop throwing.
No, it wasn't. I was very impressed by that. But that was the point I was making. about I like my childhood version of what I think a cool life would be, which is when I bought a ridiculous car. It was a 1965 station wagon. I would never think to buy
like a Mustang or whatever,
or just a crazy new car. Like,
I have to say, I drove a 1960s car for a time. And
it's awful.
It's
awful.
Like you, it was not a super cool 1960s car. I drove a Dodge Dart.
Oh, that's a nice. That's a slant six. Nice.
It was a four cylinder, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
And
because that engine's that's a famous engine.
Yeah, it was a real rinky dinky. And the main things I remember were just the multiple times it just stopped working while I was on the freeway.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
You're just like, wait a minute. This this car just turned into a soapbox derby.
Yeah. Hey, it's quiet. This thing runs quiet.
But the other thing is just like how aware I was the entire time that I did not have a shoulder belt or or disc brakes, much less anti-lock brakes.
Just some brake drums
going.
And for the car to run, you had to be smoking cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
You had to be smoking cigarettes
A can in there against
it. That's what the lighter is for.
Yeah.
Yep. Flick them out the window. Throw the can out the window when you're done.
Yeah.
Complain about President Johnson.
Sure.
It was very lovely. I mean, I would look. It had a big round steering wheel,
which when you crash into a tree, goes through your chest.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. It was the most beautiful steering wheel, and it felt wonderful to hold.
Had the hand grips in it?
Much better. Yeah, and it had just one post that came up from the steering column, and it was beautiful. But then I would look at it, and I would just know that I had no shoulder belt, and if I even had to just like stop quickly at a stoplight, it would impale me.
Yeah, that's going
like built to impale me.
What year was it? 65?
65.
But that's a beautiful looking car.
It was a very handsome car.
I had a 1974 Plymouth Duster, same family. And it was gross. It looked like a poorly executed half used tube of toothpaste. And you realize that, like, that design went downhill. Like, from around 68, design just took a dump.
Yeah, well, for
a good 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a good 20 years, it was just gross. Everything was avocado green and macrame orange. Like, you look at people in advertising in, like, 1974, the clothes and the style, it's obscene. It's so bad. And then you go, but like 65
do you think that's
look
why,
great.
Do you think that's why they ended Mad Men when they did?
It's true, though.
No
true.
One will look cool.
Because Don,
They were creeping up on it, too, toward the end.
They were creeping up on it.
Really
and
bad.
My dad is Don Draper's age. You know, it's like, I know how Don Draper ends up.
Sure.
And and there's some horrible, bad shirts, bad hair, beard, giant lapels, and shirt lapels that would go over the lapel of the jacket.
Yeah. Grotesque. My dad.
I found a picture of Nipsey Russell this week online in a tuxedo shirt combination that nearly knocked me out of a chair.
There is my parents didn't really have cars most of my childhood, but when I was about 10, maybe, a friend of my father's died and left my dad his car.
Oh, and I didn't know how those stories connected.
Yeah. And it was
just 180 in on us.
This is just word jazz.
Yeah.
It was a very exciting time for me because I was not close with my dad's friend. It was, I'm sure, very sad for my dad.
Yeah.
But I had only met my dad's friend a couple of times.
Yeah.
It was not sad to me. And we inherited both his, I'm going to say, 16-inch black and white television, which was a big improvement over our previous 11-inch black and white television.
Wow.
And we inherited his Chevy Nova, 77.
Oh, that's
Chevy
a nice
Nova.
Car. Oh, 77.
It was four doors.
The 1977 Chevy Nova is the automotive. It's the automotive equivalent of a porn mustache.
It had electric windows that didn't work. It had a cassette deck that ate tapes. It had vinyl
seats. A cassette track, not an 8-track tape.
No, an actual cassette deck, which must have been in 1977. That was top of the line.
By the way, the nameplate of the Chevy Nova is an integral part to War of the Planet of the Apes.
How so?
Then they give it to the little girl, and she is Nova.
Oh, yeah.
That is the name check for Linda Harrison from the first movie.
And most significantly,
I'm looking it up online.
It was, and please don't look up the coupe. It was the sedan. Metallic brown.
Nice. Yeah, the two words that Blake do not brown. Go together.
Yeah, metallic brown.
My first car was also a friend of the family gift. I think it was an 83 or an 84 Nissan, and the color was champagne.
Oh, champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, you had the Nova sedan. Yeah, that is that car is the design equivalent of a brown shoe.
Yeah.
There's nothing happening.
They were just like, okay.
Car. It should have been called a car.
Yeah.
Car. Yeah, that's a terrible. Yeah, there's, you know, I grew up in the 70s. And, you know,
I'm a 90s baby.
Yeah, the hair, just everything was horrible.
I'm an exennial.
I graduated high school in the early 1980s. But I was a kid in the 70s. And you look back on stuff I remember watching on television, you think, my God, look at those clothes. It's a different planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a different planet.
They figured out how to put color into clothes permanently through the use of petroleum.
Yep.
And
they did.
They really went wild with that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, there's a lot of photograph shirts, that's a big one. Shirts with photographs on them,
yeah.
Or mm-hmm. paintings.
Yeah.
Everyone looks like the carpet in a public library.
Yeah. Look at pictures of the individual Beatles in 1966, and then look at them in 1976 and compare how they look. It's nobody improved. No one improved. Yeah.
You'd think they would be like a fine wine. Mm.
Yeah,
Dana, can I back up and ask you a question about drive-ins?
Sure.
At the Tiki drive-in.
Yeah.
Once he's done, I have a quick diner question and a dive
and
question.
Okay. Yeah. After this, you guys want to go to Flavortown? Or do you guys want to get anything
Flavorful?
To eat? Yeah.
Flavorful.
East Flavorton. What's the crowd like at the Mission Tiki drive-in?
It's great. It's you know, they show. They have four screens,
mm-hmm.
And it's all new movies, and it's two movies, and it's families.
Tiki drive-in?
It's called Mission Tiki, and it's tiki-themed. You know, the snack bar is tiki-themed. It's a lot of middle-class families in the Inland Empire.
Is it a contemporary drive-in, or was it created?
It was old. We used to go to it, ironically, in the 90s when you might get knifed there.
Right.
Me and Ken Daly and people like that. Mm. Who you look like a young Ken Daly.
Ooh.
I'm sure you've told.
I have not been told that.
Yeah.
Ken Daly is a
very good friend of mine. He's something of a gadfly in the comedy scene. And
I get a Michael J. Pollard a lot.
Yeah,
I can see that. Oswalt.
Ken was a child actor and he did a what was the green Shamrock Shake commercial?
Oh wow!
As a child, that you could be him in that commercial.
I'm going to go ahead and take that as a compliment. I like being as attractive as a man who could sell a Shamrock
mm-hmm.
Shake.
I was with and someone I care of. I was with him today. The drive-in it is contemporary and the technology is contemporary. It's digital projection, mm-hmm. and you go and you go like the Meg. All right, you're seeing. Screen 3, 89.7, and you put your car radio on 89.7, turn off the engine, kill the lights, and that's the sound of the movie, and you watch the movie. We have a minivan. You back it up. You open up the back. You put a lawn chair. The kids hang out. Everybody has a great time.
Screen 2, 89.3, KPCC.
Mm-hmm.
You get to listen to Terry Gross.
Good station ID.
Yeah.
The drive-in in Commerce is the one I've been to a couple of times,
uh-huh.
and that is –
It's such a, those names are the city of industry.
Right.
The city of commerce. It's so gross.
Oh, I think it actually might be the city of industry.
Yeah, it is. Right. But it's just like, it's such a gross name. It's like that horrible new building in San Francisco that it doesn't look like a dildo, but it does look like a case for a dildo.
Yeah. Like if you were I know the one. From that description, I know exactly the one.
Yeah, it looks like if you were taking a dildo through the airport, you really had to get this dildo to Minneapolis.
Yep.
You know, that would be the case.
Now somebody needs a dildo transfusion.
Right. And you know, that building is called the Salesforce Building.
Oof.
It's like, oh, you found a way to make it worse.
Mm. At the City of Industry, it seems to be people, like half the people are like families there to see the movie, and half of the people are there because it's like a cheap place to park their car while they sleep.
That's also,
it seems.
Either one is great.
Like, I can't be on the road right now.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I mean, it is not a place for film buffs. If you're there to like take in the movie, maybe you're in the wrong place. Because I've always felt a little bit while I'm there, I'm like, there's people kind of wandering. Like,
yeah.
Wandering.
It depends on the movie.
Is it a sexual wandering?
You know what?
Oddly, the name
now
of my
I
new
think
novel.
That. I mean, yes, sexual slash aimless, but
it depends on the movie.
You know?
Like, well, a good slasher movie is great to see at the drive-in.
So I've always been a little bit annoyed by the
Annabelle
wandering
at the drive-in. It was perfect.
I saw the new Halloween, and I'm like, I love this wandering.
Yeah,
this
perfect.
Is adding to
yeah,
it.
It's
this is like who, you know, they should hire wanderers to do that in theaters while you watch it.
Guys, lurk around.
The last movie I saw at the drive-in was Mo Money.
Mm-hmm.
Damon Wayans' vehicle.
Yeah.
Mo Money.
And then it's a sequel, Mo Money in Monte Carlo.
Uh-huh. Sure. He really took Mo Money around the world.
Mo Money goes bananas.
Yeah.
I liked all the Damon Wayans as a star movies.
Yeah.
That was the time I was like, I
let's give it a shot, said Hollywood.
I was a fan of In Living Color, and I was happy to be somewhere without my mom.
Handyman, you say. Sure. Sold.
No, I think Blank Man.
Oh,
I don't
Blank
think they
Blank
made a Handyman
Man.
Movie, but Blank Man.
Yeah,
I remember being a real rollicking good time. I will not revisit it.
I definitely liked.
If it is,
I definitely liked Mo Money, and I remember Mo Money was on a double bill with Ace Ventura, and I did not like Ace Ventura, but I did like Mo Money.
Major Payne. That's a good
Major Payne.
Damon Wayans vehicle.
Damon Wayans really started a lot of movies.
Sure did. I think those kinds of comedies they don't make a ton of anymore, but I think you can just make them like Liam Neeson makes throat-punching movies now.
Yeah.
I think they are just so quick and easy to shoot.
It's weird. My kids are pretty savvy kids. You know, they're my oldest are teenagers now, and you know, they're as smart as anybody, and but they love Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They're Blart heads.
They love them some Paul Blart Mall Cop.
How do they feel about Paul Blart Mall Cop too?
Have you seen Paul Blart Mall Cop? Because
I've watched it with them.
All I know about Paul Blart Mall Cop is that every time there is a new Paul Blart Mall Cop, which is there's only been two, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Pardo talks about how shocked he is and how much he enjoys Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, it's utterly enjoyable. It's nothing you know, God bless those guys.
That reminds me, I need to warm up for my musical performance, Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
My oldest daughter, who's super funny.
Blank man.
Even way.
She loves Bob's Burgers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Doesn't, and loves Bob's Burgers. Likes Futurama, doesn't give a crap about The Simpsons, and yet is a character on The Simpsons. Ling Bouvier, Selma's adopted Chinese baby, is my oldest daughter, Lulu. I wrote that episode, and her design is Lulu's baby picture. And I go, you know, you're a character on The Simpsons. Yeah. Just doesn't sway her
the
at
truth,
all.
If I know one thing about whatever the generation that comes after millennials is called, it's that they fucking love Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, they
and
sure
I'm
do.
Not saying it they're speaks, wrong. Bob's,
no, Bob's Burgers,
Burgers
is
great.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But there's something about Bob's Burgers that speaks to the depth of their soul.
Yes, and God love them. I know those people. I love those people. I'm at a loss to know what. And I ask,
children,
like, what do you like about Bob's Burgers? What don't you? And everything she likes about Bob's Burgers, then I'll say, well, what don't you like about The Simpsons? And it's just everything you like about it, you could say about The Simpsons.
The children that come to a Judge John Hodgman show, I just got back from a little Judge John Hodgman tour, and we will have these 10 and 12 year olds come to the show because it's a pretty family friendly show, and they'll, you know, this is really cute. They're so nervous to meet John and stuff. They will talk to me about Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
They're like, you guys know that I'm not on, but I would love to be on Bob's Burgers. I'm available. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of it sounds improvised to me. Not improvised, but it sounds like they let him riff around, which was not true on The Simpsons.
I'm always trying to figure out, like, people who are like 4 or 5 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a kind of person who I feel like I interact with a lot. You're
talking about Generation Pokemon?
Like, there are just a little handful of things that I don't get. Pokemon is definitely one of them. Even though I am interacting with the Pokemon characters a fair bit playing Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but I do not know what the Pokemon are or what they do in the world. Pokemon...
Blendar is good.
Huh?
Blendar.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Is Incineroar good? That's the one I know.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's there's a whole series of them based on household appliances.
Pininar. Pininar Press.
His special power is he wraps things fresh.
Yeah. So it's Pokemon.
Food Savar.
Yeah, that's good.
Vacuum power.
Let's just go with Pininar Press.
Okay.
I'm not trying to punch this up.
Just adding.
We all want to go to lunch. We all want to go to lunch.
Yes, and. Yes, and.
Hocus Pocus, the movie Hocus Pocus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
Space Jam, do not understand.
The depth of passion
Space Jam,
for Space Jam.
With people like, who are like 4 or 5 years younger than me. Yeah,
yeah, ask
Jam.
A 32-year-old how they feel about Space Jam. They'll tell you all fucking about it. And I'm I saw Space Jam. I think I had Ace Ventura-like feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not good,
but the biggest gap that I just can't wrap my brain around is that there are people who deeply love South Park but don't care about The Simpsons, and those, and I'm like, well, I like South Park. South Park is very funny, but why do you like it more than The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Why would you?
Because I'm assuming it's because The Simpsons, when they were growing up. It's like growing up with parents that are really into the Beatles.
Yeah, sure.
That you're not going to like the Beatles because they were your parents' favorite band.
Yeah.
My parents are not into the Beatles, so I enjoy the Beatles. But I think it's just one of those things. It's like, I mean, of course my daughter doesn't like The Simpsons. I worked there.
Sure. One day I turned 30 and I came to accept that I loved Van Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
It was all my dad ever listened to around the house.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But it took me until then, because before that I was just like, oh, shut up about the fucking mystic.
I will know.
You know who's a giant Van Morrison fan? Stephen Wright.
Oh, really?
Monster Van Morrison fan.
Serious Van Morrison fan.
Serious Van Morrison fan.
Interesting. I will know I've become my father when I find a Lord of the Rings thing not boring. That's when I'll know.
Oh, really? Your dad's super into that?
He was, yeah. He really, like, for every birthday would get me a Hobbit-related thing.
That's sweet.
And it was very sweet. I just meant
a real Hobbit.
Yeah, an actual Hobbit, bound and gagged. It's like, go fucking nuts on him. Yeah. And then he would lock us in the basement.
Today, my son is a man.
You just hear, like, raccoon fight sounds coming from the basement.
I just want a seed cake.
Not my feet. Are we leprechauns? Here's your second breakfast.
Your ring's not going to save you now.
there's definitely one of those things where, you know, I think he would also, like, forget that he had gotten it for me and that I did not like it. Mm. So I think there was a lot of little dad forgetfulness there. But yeah, I mean, he really tried with The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and God love him, it didn't take.
I think my dad forget that my birthday was happening.
Yeah, I had that a couple times.
The central trauma of my childhood, again, other than my parents' acrimonious divorce that lasted until today, frankly, was my dad. All I wanted was a scooter. I just wanted a scooter so bad. I want the kind that was kind of like a BMX bike, but it was a scooter.
But you wanted your parents to divorce.
Yeah,
and they never did.
No, my parents divorced when I was 3, but they remained in active legal battles until I was 15.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it was terrible. But they, on the plus side, they both loved and supported me. My dad bought me the scooter for Christmas when I was like 8. And then the day after Christmas, he put some of it together and then he forgot to finish, lost some of the parts, and never finished.
Lost some of the parts.
He just lost some of the
pieces.
I'll
see your partially assembled scooter. August 24th, 1977. It's a hot, humid day in Massachusetts.
Thank you for painting a picture.
It's my 13th birthday.
That's a crucial one.
Yeah, and to show you what a cool, kid I was, I got the Star Wars T-shirt with Chewbacca and Han Solo shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know. My mom got me that.
Violence shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
I had a gun cabinet in my bedroom at that point in my life. I did, because it was the only room in the house that it fit in, and I had 4 brothers and a dad that all hunted.
They were not your guns.
No, but I woke up and saw 9 or 10 rifles. That was the first thing I would see when I would wake up. But my dad was unaware it was my birthday, and then my mother told me, where'd you get that? And I go, Mom got it for me. She goes, why'd you buy a T-shirt? She goes, it's his birthday. and then my dad, fresh out of the shower, he's got his glasses on, tidy whitey underwear, and brown corduroy slippers. That's all he's wearing. He gets up, walks across the room, turns around, hikes his leg, farts at me and says, happy birthday, bud.
And on that day, you became a man slash comedy writer.
Yeah, exactly. I know what I'm going to do. Go into bars and beg strangers to love me.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Danny Gould, the guest.
He sure is. He's not lying, folks. He's wearing a coffee Sasquatch T-shirt, which is just very squarely on brand.
Yeah, it is. Hairy, yeah. Gross feet, and he likes coffee.
Sure. And some people still don't believe you exist.
That's very true. My theory was...
Me having footage.
The old joke, my take on the female orgasm, same as my take on Bigfoot. Believe it when I see one, pal.
Jordan.
Yes.
Every Jordan Jesse Go episode is brought to you by all of the Maximum Fun members who go to MaximumFun.org/donate to support this show and all the other great shows at Maximum Fun. We're also this week brought to you by The Croot.
You mean Zip Recruiter?
Yeah, The
Croot. You call it The Croot?
No, Graham and Dave on Stop Call Podcasting yourself call it The Croot.
They call it The Croot?
So I think of it as The Croot.
Okay, well, I guess so. Are you worried that people will think that it's either a wet cough or something to put on a salad?
No, I mean, I'm a little worried that people will think that we're a poor man Stop Podcasting yourself, but they're not wrong.
Sure, no, I'm happy to be that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey. There's a smarter way to hire at ZipRecruiter, because you know it's not smart. Job boards that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes.
Yeah, just picture a hiring manager sitting at their desk, tearing their hair out, crying, and wishing they had a mug of herbal tea to hold with both hands. Mm. They're overwhelmed by the wrong resumes, Jordan.
Mm, ZipRecruiter, yummy.
ZipRecruiter is the
so yummy.
ZipRecruiter is the Moroccan mint tea of job recruitment websites. That's our slogan for ZipRecruiter.
Its mascot should be a bear who's in bed.
You know what I like to have sometimes?
What?
A sweetened mint tea with a little milk.
That sounds nice.
It's really nice. You know what else I like?
ZipRecruiter?
Yeah, exactly. You know, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology finds the right people for you and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter's rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews.
Right now, our listeners can try The Croot for free at ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. Don't go to TheCroot.com. Who knows what's at that website?
Yeah.
Probably kind of fun.
Yeah, something cool.
If you love this show, show your support to it and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/JJGo. Try it for free.
We're also this week sponsored in part by Care Of.
Ooh, their naming convention is like that of Face Off. Yes. Care/Of.
That's true.
My favorite movie.
Do something good for your health in 2019. Care Of makes it easy to stick to your health-related resolutions. Care Of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices and takes only 5 minutes. Then Care Of delivers daily vitamin and supplement packs customized to your recommendations. Now, Jordan, can I ask you to picture something?
Sure. I love picturing things.
Picture a hiring manager at their desk trying to get healthy.
Yummy.
And they've got piles upon piles of giant containers of vitamins, and they're flipping them all over everywhere, and there's vitamins spilling everywhere. And again, they're tearing their hair out, crying, and wishing they had a two-handed mug of tea. Or a convenient daily packet of vitamins.
Yeah. And hey, if you want to feel good about your purchase, a portion of every sale goes toward the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins.
Take advantage of this month's special New Year's offer. For 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter JJGO50. Now, Jordan, we also have something up on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, this is for Amy.
A-I-M-E-E. New Max Fun host, Amy Mann, we can only presume.
Oh, sure.
Check out Amy Mann and Ted Leo's new podcast on MaximumFun.org.
And it's from Katie. One can only imagine it's...
Katy Perry and Amy Mann communicating.
There you go. I was going to say someone I went to fourth grade with.
Okay.
Dearest sister Amy...
Katy Perry and Amy Mann are sisters.
Who knew?
Talent runs in the family.
Beautiful voices.
Yep.
Dearest sister Amy, thank you for my signed copy of Vacation Land. John Hodgman may have said that you are clever, but now Jordan and Jesse are declaring once and for all that I am the most clever, a.k.a. the cleverer sister. Thanks also for coming and helping us when Frederick was born. Love you.
God, I love Frederick. Frederick's a beautiful child.
Yeah, Frederick's great.
How do you pro Frederick, Dana?
Yeah, I am.
Gorgeous kid. Get a load of this kid.
It's the opposite of childhood's childhood. Not childhood end. What was that movie?
Howard's End.
Face Off.
No, I'm gonna revisit Face Off.
Yeah.
No, the baby
Rock?
Stopped being born. And
Children of Men.
Children of Men. Yeah, it's the antithesis of children.
Yeah. Hey, Dana Gould, do you have a message for people who live in Seattle?
You know. Yes.
The Emerald City.
The Emerald City. The Seattle. The city by the bay.
Mm-hmm.
I will be performing in Seattle.
The Windy City. Seattle.
The Windy City. The birthplace of our democracy. Seattle.
Seattle. It's Tokyo.
It's Tokyo. Sin City. Seattle, Washington.
Ooh, I love
or
to
as
go
I call
Seattle
it, Seattle, the location of the Night Strangler, the 1973 Night Stalker sequel.
Yep.
I will be performing this Friday night.
Again, very on-brand. Very on-brand.
I'll be performing this Friday night at the Triple Door with Kathy Sorbo and the Zumabella Trio. And there's still a couple seats left. And you can get them wherever you get tickets to the Triple Door.
I'll tell you what. You're not going to regret the decision that you make to go see Dana J. Gould live in concert.
Do it if you're in Seattle, and then do it whenever he's in your town, if you don't live in Seattle. It's great. It's great fun.
Jordan and I went to see Dana Gould at the Cobb's or the Punchline or something. We were in college.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite memories.
It was great. Yeah. It's a fond memory.
Did you tell me
the time we went to see Dana Gould?
Did you ever tell me this?
I think I remember we chatted with you outside.
Yeah, we talked to you.
I felt like real hot shit.
Yeah, like oh, we talked to Dana Gould. Yeah, he's the best.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, what year was that? Like 1974.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah,
I was just
wearing
a pair of bell bottoms with sideburns.
We're all wearing orange vests.
And we had the brown chicka
Our feet were going very far forward, yeah, but
we all walked
leaned
like,
back.
Yeah, we had the keep on trucking pose. And
I was
like
wearing
Mr.
macrame underpants.
I bet it was 2002. Well,
oh, okay.
I would guess. 2002 or 3.
Seattle, this is my message to you. Get a babysitter. Go see Dana J. Gould.
Yeah, and if you don't have kids, hire a babysitter so you'll have someone to go to the show with.
Exactly.
That's if you don't have kids, but... hire a babysitter, have sex with them, and maybe you'll have a kid later.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of babies, have you ever done this? I'm driving on the 101 today.
Oh yeah,
I've done that.
It's a beautiful,
I'm right there with you. I was driving on the 101 earlier today myself.
Totally not thinking.
Were you going to the Topanga Vintage Market?
I was going to Sky High Trampoline, indoor trampolining in Van Nuys.
Fuck yeah.
Shit, man, your guys' lives are so much better than mine. Mine sucks.
And I reach out, and I just, not even thinking, I just pick up my phone and look at something because I was thinking of something. And then I realize, fuck, I'm driving. And I throw it down, and it's just absentmindedly.
Like, I never got that meme with the anime guy and the butterfly. Oh, my God!
Yeah, so I realized the best way to really hammer home that we can't text on the highway is in a perfect world, you would just have toddlers. Babies randomly crawl across a highway.
Right.
And everybody would be...
But we can't live in your crazy utopia.
Well, here's my theory.
Bernie
right.
Sanders.
Exactly. Exactly. But what I thought was, you can't do that, but we could have robotic toddlers.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Just still pretty traumatic to hit a...
In pink onesies, randomly crawling across the highway. The only way it would work is if people would know it. For every 10, 2 of them are real babies.
Right.
So that way you're not... So flooding, like a, you're not yeah. really flooding our highway with children.
Right.
It's just it's a couple.
But the stakes
and many
are
of them
real.
Are robotic.
There's real
stakes. Are real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my way to solve that
Could
problem.
We also have a few steaks strewn around the highway?
Ooh, that
but like
sounds nice.
Nice.
That sounds
like mail
nice.
Order
quality
steaks.
Steaks.
Sure.
Like prime.
Omaha
Speaking,
steaks.
I was doing an ad recently on my little podcast, and it wasn't for the Croot, but one of the enticements was, and I had to read it, you know, professionally. 2 pounds of fresh salmon.
Mm.
Oh, God.
You really sold that. Oh, that salmon sounds
really
fresh.
You have to get that. Like, you've really got to get it. Mm. 2 pounds of fresh salmon.
Pretend you're a bear.
Red salmon.
Snatching
sent,
it out of the
sent
river.
To your house in a box.
Pow. I thought it was going to spawn.
You'll
that was the really, sound
you'll be afraid a bear
death.
Will interrupt your mail.
That's a federal bear crime.
You know, yeah. Black bears have been assaulting mail carriers to get into the delicious
That's
salmon.
How fresh it is.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Dana Gould, guest.
Mm. Dana Gould, of course, the host of the Smash Hit podcast, the Dana Gould Hour. Don't be fooled. It's not an hour long. It's 7 hours yeah. long.
7 hours long.
7 hours long.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
One of my favorites,
every
too.
Month.
I
so
can't
I.
figure out another way to do it.
Got it. Got
Don't
it
do
right.
it. Don't
got
do it
right
another
here.
Way. I
got
love it.
Got it right here on my telephone. Not a lot of podcasts here, but...
Well, I'm flattered.
You're looking at the Dana Gould Hour right there.
There
Dana
you go.
Gould Hour right there on my
I
podcast.
Know, I can't figure
Look,
out a better
too.
Way to
Look,
do it.
Mine too. Mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this... This was weird because I was in a relationship that ended, and then I recorded the podcast not long after, and then the holidays came, and then I went in to edit the podcast. Like, I can't say that. I can't say that. it's not negative. It's not. It's nothing about the person. It was just like I was in a bad place.
Mm. Yep. A lot of darkness. A lot
yeah.
of darkness.
It's still dark.
Here,
oh, this episode's plenty dark. It's plenty dark.
In this show, we keep it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold tight onto that pain. Don't let it out there. That would be art. We're not engaged in art.
Yeah.
Art is not what we do. Speaking of,
yeah.
When something momentous happens to you, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN or email us a voice memo at jjgo@maximumfun.org. It's our beloved signature segment, Momentous Occasions. Do you think this is actually a beloved signature segment? Or have we just not thought of a new idea in the last 10 years?
How about this? It's time for our segment.
Yeah.
I think that, you know.
Piece of an orange.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead
that
and
doesn't.
Press play, Brian.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and random bubble cast member. This is Lizzie with a momentous occasion. Earlier this week, I got a off-brand fitness watch. And last night, I had sex for the first time in 6 months. During the act, my watch lit up and said, "Keep up the good work. You got the moves."
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Don't let any Drax get you.
Fucking Draculas. You know about these Draculas, Dana?
Yeah. No.
They let them even work. Let's say, like, you would think that if you were hiring, like, at a Subway sandwich shop, for example, you're hiring sandwich artists.
Yeah.
You would think that there would be a question on that questionnaire that says, are you Dracula? And there's no question on that questionnaire. So the reality of the situation is if you go into a Subway's, an Arby's, if you go into the DQ, you might be staring at Dracula straight in the fucking face.
Right.
You know what I would do if I saw a Dracula in the Arby's? I'd pop it one straight in the schnoz.
Draculas are not unlike sharks. That's what they react to.
All right. You can confuse them.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Drax.
I love the terminology, a Dracula.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A single Dracula.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
a Blackula.
Sure. Or a person killer. Mm-hmm.
Or a Temecula.
Or a Temecula. Okay. Beautiful country.
Thank you.
Well, the first scene in the movie, Blackula, Dracula bites a black guy,
mm-hmm.
which is easily anticipated if you are aware of the title of the film that you're
right,
watching.
Sure.
And then he says the line, "I christen you, ironically, Blackula," and then he bursts out laughing malevolently and they cut to the titles. And I wish they would just stay for a beat later so Blackula could go, "Ha, ha, ha, no, really, what's my name?"
All I remember.
We're going to stick with Blackula. We all want to go to lunch.
All kidding aside, what's my name?
I went through a period in the 1990s during the reappreciation of blaxploitation cinema that happened around then, where I watched
Rudy Ray Moore had a big resurgence.
Exactly. I watched a number of those films, including Blackula, and the only thing I really remember about Blackula is that the female lead of Blackula is like the most beautiful human being I had ever seen in my life.
Was it Rosalind Cash by chance?
I can't think of what her name was. I remember
Blackula.
I remember
was
a Dana Gould question.
Blackula
was
played
for
by
a time to Bill Withers.
I could look. Blackula was played by William Marshall, who is later the king of cartoons on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
That's a fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was on the other end of this call at one point. Not actually this call, but I can remember a time after completing the lovemaking process, and then my partner checked her Fitbit, and I wanted nothing more than to, I just wanted to know, like, so was that how many calories you normally burn, or is that how it usually goes? Is that, was it a, like a lot? Was it, would you, how... I want to see a graph, basically.
I love the name, the lovemaking process.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a real romantic.
It sounds, there's a Henry Ford aspect to that that I enjoy.
From soup to nuts, Jordan does it all.
Right. And all the time.
Or from soup to nut. Okay.
Yeah, sure. And the song is always playing in the background. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. That's, of course, Powerhouse by Raymond Scott.
Oh, yeah.
For the win.
Oh. Oh, way to go. When did it become the assembly line song?
It was just written in the 30s, and it was later used by Warner Brothers Cartoon for stuff. It wasn't written for cartoons.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He has a great album of his work called Turkish Nights and Other Delights, or something to that effect. The word Turkish is in it. Raymond Scott.
There is actually a lot of legendary films and entertainment products that are based on Jordan's sex life. Mm-hmm. Modern Times, the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Interesting. Modern Times.
The episode of I Love Lucy with the conveyor belt of chocolates. Yeah. That's based on Jordan's sex life.
That's not Vitamin D Vegemans. That's a different one.
The film Short Circuit as well.
Uh-huh. Short Circuit. but not Short Circuit 2.
No, that I did not approve that. I had a bad contract for the first one and got away from me.
Yes, mine, The Lonely Guy. No. That's a layup.
Yeah. I did like that she implied...
Gratuitously added for the first time in 6 months, by the way.
I think she added that to make clear that she got laid because of her off-brand fitness watch. Yeah. Like she had been in a dry spell and then she put on that Sanyo.
Yes, the FotBot.
Yeah.
Who was that, a FotBot?
And those available dudes start hitting like Big River Muskie.
I imagined when she said that it was
I made myself laugh on that.
Dana enjoyed his fishing humor.
I made myself laugh on that.
Dana was like, oh, that was a much better specific than a largemouth bass.
Yeah, I was imagining how funny it would be if I had heard Letterman say it.
Yeah.
Mm. And start hitting like Big River Muskie. He would, of course, throw a
call. The thing that I immediately
That's a historical reference now, isn't it?
When, it's another thing that Xennials, whatever comes after millennials don't like.
Sure.
Yeah.
A millennial cultural critic that I know because.
What a delight.
They have appeared on one
they
of our.
They sound fun.
Yeah.
They are a wonderful critic. Very, very
please,
smart and
Please tell me
critic.
His business card is just an image of a discarded scooter.
And
then an eggplant emoji.
They tweeted one day, was David Letterman ever funny? And I wanted to cry. Like, I literally was like, you can have everything. You can say he's a bad person.
Yeah.
Probably is to some extent. You can say you can really, truly anything. But that basically that is you directly kicking me in the nuts just to ask that question.
And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
Sometimes I like to just yes. Yeah. I love that's my favorite thing with hack comedy premises. Just. Was this I was flipping the channels and the new Sebastian Menzacola is a Netflix special. And
yeah.
I literally flipped it and he's going, I don't get what's going on with these airplanes. And I was just like, and I was alone in the, I was watching it. I was just by myself and I went, well, the air velocity under the wing is faster than the air velocity over the wing and literally pushes the vehicle off the ground. Click.
Yeah,
it's been known for almost 100 years now.
The thing that I immediately imagined when she said that she bought an off-brand Fitbit was, do you remember this kind of watch? This might be a fever dream from my childhood, but a kind of watch that we had as children, the generation Space Jam will not know what I'm talking about, but a type of watch that's like a transformer robot. That you can take off the watch band and turn into a robot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, I remember that, yeah.
That's what I imagined was her Fitbit that got her laid.
There was an ad. You know, I'm a big Rod Serling fan.
No.
I know.
Again, you?
Off brand. And I was, you know, sometimes I'll be bored and I'll go on eBay. There's a couple things I look for. I'll just go on eBay and I'll just like, Rod Serling, highest first. And you just see, like, what's out there. Sometimes it's like I found a letter that he had written, and I didn't buy it. And I still kick myself for not buying it. It was thanking a woman for sending him oven mitts. She was a fan of The Twilight Zone, and she sent him oven mitts.
Dana, can I tell you something really important? You know that I'm one of the co-hosts of the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Yes.
A few years ago, a fan sent us some oven mitts.
There you go.
She made some Judge John Hodgman oven
mitts. You need them? You know you
made it. Maybe
it's
the same woman.
We have them here at the office, I think. They're gorgeous. She did an amazing job.
And so one time it came up with an interview with Rod Serling and like an old Playboy. And so I got it. And in this old Playboy, there was an ad for a digital watch. Mm. And it was like $400. It was like 1971 or 72. Mm. It was just incredibly.
I had one of those for a while.
But then they were annoying.
The one I had was called the Bulova Computron.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you had to press a button on the side to light up the.
Yeah. But then
LCDs.
And they were red and the letters were red. Yeah. But then it was like, yeah, these will eventually be $1.99 and you'll hate them. Like, yeah. Patton Oswalt has that great bit about explaining to yourself in the 90s that all of the music that you have will be able to fit on this thing that's smaller than the Lifesavers things, but they'll be annoying.
Let's take another call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Julia. I'm calling with a momentous occasion in my career. I'm a veterinary cardiologist, and this morning I saw a patient who is fainting every time he ejaculates. So, a little background. For AI and dogs to breed them, they basically jack off the dogs. And apparently, every time they do that to this dog, he starts to faint. So, I found the whole situation hilarious. Luckily, he doesn't have any significant heart disease, and I told his owner the solution to the problem is to just not breed her dog. She did not find the situation so hilarious, but anyway, hopefully he'll be fine. And if any of you ever need a veterinary cardiologist, you know who to call. All right, thanks. Love the show. Bye.
I mean, I'll probably end up going with a human cardiologist, but we'll see how the budget works out.
Where do you go if you just want to jack off dogs? Apparently, there's a job for that. That yeah. She totally blew past the one part of this. That
Dana's coming to terms with this live on air.
I wouldn't be the same person. How do you?
It truly is. I mean, I think that
one of those things that you can. There's an old expression. You can't unsuck a dick.
Mm. Right.
And that, you know, once you jack off a dog, you've jacked off a dog.
Yeah.
You're that guy.
I have a similar condition. I've made myself laugh. Where I, every time I masturbate, I go into like a fugue state. Mm-hmm. So I will just kind of wake up and I've been a short order cook in Tampa for a year. What happened?
I was wondering how you ended up in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
I just figured you loved it, like, vacation good times.
Yeah, no, I mean, Fuchs Day. I don't know how I got there.
Uh-huh. Like, wildlife parks and...
So that's why, I mean, when it's time to masturbate, I kind of chain myself up like the Wolfman.
Uh-huh. Sure, I understand.
Make sure I can't,
you know,
just get out there and start a new life. So.
Right. I'm wondering if, like, If there's one particular dog that they're breeding a lot, and you know, does it eventually get like you start to jack the dog off, and then they're like, oh, and you're like, all right, we're sitting together on a train, but you're a dog that I don't know, and
a squirrel,
he just needs a little something extra.
Yeah,
I think
we're both backup singers on the Taylor Swift tour.
I think this dog jack off situation is actually a really perfect example of that thing you were just talking about, the way that technology can kind of sour on us and become ordinary and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when all animals, if you wanted new animals, you had to put two animals together and cross your fingers.
Right.
The certainty that comes from modern artificial insemination technology for the husbandrier, is a great boon. It means that you can be assured that you're prize sow and your prize boy pig, whatever that's called.
Boy pig.
Boar will mate and will impregnate each other and you'll have prize
piglets. Right.
But it also, if you are a farmer today, I think you look across your farm and you see a sea of animal dicks you will have to jack off.
Yeah. I don't know if I could get there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, you know, you...
Like Temecula?
Yeah.
Like, what if, you know, you come to that moment in veterinary school, medical school, animal medical school. I don't know if it's a separate thing. It's probably a separate thing. I don't know. veterinary school, you get to that moment and it's like, well, you know, sometimes you'll have to jack off the dog. And
I think veterinarians go to human medical school.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure they do.
And then you just find out, you're like, wow, I'm good at this. Mm-hmm. Like, you really, like, I've got a knack
You've
for this.
You've got the touch.
This woman talked about dog jacking off with a kind of a confidence. Mm-hmm. I bet she, like, nailed that part of the exam, got to go home early. It seems like a point of pride.
You know, do dogs have prostates that you can stimulate?
Sure.
That really
dog
makes
prostates
it go
are very sti-
yeah.
very
really blow your top fast.
Yeah, sure. Got it.
Well, I was saying, you know, the
well, punch me in the face. Hit me in the nose with a newspaper.
Oh, call me a cat.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Allegra Ringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on Butt Legs. We're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun. La, la,
la, la, la, la, la, la. Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process. We're talking about how the creative process is in itself an art form, in our opinion. There are underlying forms and structures that serve as the scaffolding for any creative endeavor.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
New episodes will be coming every other Monday,
starting January 28th.
So please listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Danny Gould, guest.
Dana, it's been a joy to have you on the program.
Thank you very kindly. I've enjoyed being here.
I know that Seattleites will be headed out to see you on Friday night.
I hope so. I'll be at the Triple Door with Kathy Sorbo and the Zuma Bella Trio.
I'm going to be honest. That's one more door than any club needs.
Two
you're
going to
need a front. You're going to need a back.
Yeah, you're going to need a back for fire safety.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very excited. I love Seattle. I have a lot of friends up there. You know, it's a good fit.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Nintendo headquarters.
Well, Kathy Sorbo is who's a very funny comedian who lives up there, is an old buddy of mine from when we both lived in San Francisco.
I met a guy, god damn it, I'm gonna need to remember his name. Today I was on the train platform waiting for the subway with my daughter.
Look at you. How progressive.
Yeah, I'm very fancy guy. We were headed to Little Tokyo to go to the Japanese bookstore so I could buy anime pornography.
Yeah. Look the other way, dear.
And I walked
Man,
past
you gotta
the
stop,
guy.
You got to stop these stories a little sooner. We're all enjoying it.
That's a great – by the way, let me just introduce the difference between you and – at the moment you were on the train platform going to Little Tokyo with your daughter on the train, I was texting on the freeway.
Swerving to hit a robot baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there was this guy wearing a hat from a team called the San Francisco Mission Reds, which was a Pacific Coast League team that
Jesus.
Had a ballpark right next to where I grew up, at 15th and Guerrero in San Francisco, like literally the next block over. And
you
I
grew
said,
up in the Mission?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I said to the guy, is that a San Francisco Mission Reds hat? Because I had never seen one in real life. other than the one that I own. He's like, yeah, it is. I used to live in San Francisco. I'm chatting with this nice man, and he says, you know, I was a comic when I lived in San Francisco. I used to work at this club, and he's listening to me. I'm like, man, when was this? He's like, oh, like the mid-'80s, mid to late-'80s. And I was like, well, I'm actually doing a show with Dana Gould tonight. Do you know Dana Gould? He's like, yeah, I knew Dana Gould, sure. And he's like, Tom Kenny and all the different—
Who was this?
All these, his name was, okay, this is from memory. I'm going to say Ed Marquez.
Yeah, Ed Marquez.
There you go.
What was Eddie Marquez? I love Eddie Marquez.
He's a very nice man on the subway platform.
What was he what's he doing now?
Wearing a Mission Reds hat, waiting for the subway, sure. As far as I can tell.
Oh, I can tell. I know. I
going
know Eddie
north, my, south.
My daughter, by this
I
point,
hope he's listening.
Had bolted, so I had to excuse myself and Eddie run Marquez after her. But
Eddie Marquez, a great guy.
There you go. Eddie Marquez, Jordan. I met him on the train subway.
I believe you.
Train platform is what they usually call it, or subway
true.
Platform.
I think the story is true.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think you made that up.
Is that what, have you read it by PolitiFact at all?
Yeah, that gets three Pinocchios.
Yeah.
This story about meeting a guy with a hat.
Ed Marquez, pants on fire.
Pinocchio alert.
He told me a story about meeting a guy with a hat, I knew he was full of shit.
Dana Gould is also the host of the Dana Gould Hour podcast, which is genuinely a joy. It's
great.
One that Jordan
it's
and I have both
great.
Been listeners
wow,
to
thanks.
For many years. Ever since we went to see Dana Gould when we were in college and talked to him after.
Uh-huh. It's the hardest podcast to make.
Brian Sonny D. Fernandez is our producer on the program. Dana, are you still at Dana J. Gould?
No.
You murdered Dana Gould.
I did get,
other
I finally
Dana Gould.
Got at Dana Gould. I finally
God,
got
God
it.
God bless you.
I got it.
God bless you. Dana is on Twitter at Dana Gould. I'm at Jesse Thorne. Jordan is at Jordan _ Morris. No, that's not Jordan in the M&M's commercial. That's David Cross.
No, I'm not in the M&M's commercial. I'm not in the Geico commercial. And I'm not doing anything as lucrative as being in a fucking commercial. So stop pointing it out so I know how not great I'm doing.
That's it. If you're making M&M's commercials.
Yeah, I'll be in it. Sure.
Me and Jordan are available. If anyway. David Cross gets sick of it, Jordan's
yeah.
willing to voice double
I don't know
for
who
is
the
he the M&M voice now?
Yeah, he's one
he's
of the M&M
caramel
voices.
M&M, and people ask me on Twitter a lot if I am that and if I am a guy who does a voice, like a funny neighbor in a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
I am not either of these things.
God,
I
I'd love to be.
Either of
I
these
would
things.
Love to be one of those things.
Yeah.
Just one of them. I don't need both of them.
Yeah.
I'd love to be in...
I'll be a sassy Skittle.
Alvin and the Chipmunks too.
I'll be a segment of a Kit Kat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be one of the grape in the Fruit of the Looms.
I'll be
oh God, I would love to be a grape in a Fruit of
I'll
the Looms.
I'll be the
well, the,
general...
the grape in the Fruit of the Looms was F. Murray Abraham.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know the only good thing we've ever thought of on Jordan Jessica is that the F and F. Murray Abraham stands for fart. Fart Murray Abraham.
That's
think
the greatest thing
that,
I've ever heard.
Crack up. Like,
fun fact.
Like you were talking about those muskies earlier.
Yeah.
Fun fact, the F and F. Murray stands for fart.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know
people
that.
People don't know that. Brian Sonny D. Fernandez, our producer. You can find us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Jordan Jesse Go or join the Maximum Fun group there. If you're in Portland, Oregon, I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon, February 15th as part of the Listen Up Podcast Festival with Corin Tucker and Lance Bangs and Bill Oakley. And
Bill Oakley,
music and comedy.
What podcast does Bill Oakley have?
He does. He's going to be on my podcast.
Oh, okay. I thought Bill Oakley had a podcast. Now.
No, he's got a series of Instagram videos where he reviews fast food. I think.
Oh, okay. Yes, he lives in Portland.
Hanging out in Portland. Yep. Simpsons legend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not unlike Dana J. Gould.
That's a well.
Couple of Simpsons.
Simpsons legend and Simpsons employee.
We'll talk to you guys next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.